John 17, Jesus prays for us. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all the people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now, this is the eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out to the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they obeyed your word. Now, they know everything you have given comes from you. For I give them your word, you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew that the certainty that I came from you and believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be the one, so that they may be as one as we are. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world anymore than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be the one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me to have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, to the glory you have given me because you have loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. They know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them. I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Amen.
That was a big, Jesus prayed big prayers, big long prayers. Thank you, Marianne. As I was preparing for last week's Spectrum and for this, what is that? And it's, what's that? Important, yeah. As I was doing that a couple of weeks ago, I began to sort of get a bit sidetracked with Jesus and how he prayed for us. And this passage that Marianne has just read in John 17. And so we're almost going backwards to the sort of end of Jesus' life. But this morning I want us to look at the prayer that Jesus prays for us. You see, Jesus had been preparing those disciples for his departure. He'd been preparing them for life without him. Now when he's praying this prayer, he's possibly in the upper room, or maybe he's en route to the Garden of Gethsemane. But into that very, what must have been a charged atmosphere, Jesus prays. He breaks the silence. He breaks into all those disciples' thinking, and he prays. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. And the first words of his prayer was, "Father, the hour has come." Many times Jesus had said, "My time has not yet come." But now he knew that his earthly work was completed and he'd done everything that he was sent to do. You see, we know that Jesus prayed because we've got his model prayer teaching us a template in the Lord's Prayer. We know he often went away in the peace and quiet and he prayed. But rarely do we actually read what Jesus prayed for. But here we do. Often called the high priestly prayer, because Old Testament priests, as we said last week, they prayed on behalf of the people. And now Jesus, reigning in heaven, is our high priest. And what this prayer does is just echoes a lot of the things that Jesus had been telling them about over the last 3 years. But what I want us to grasp before we look at it is the enormity of this prayer. Because there's no sense at all that Jesus was just about to go to the cross. There was no sense that this was his last week on earth. And what we do see is we see him talking to his Father. But more than that, he was just about to sacrifice his life. And you can kind of sense that relationship that Jesus had with his Father. Here is Jesus saying, "I'll pray for you. I pray for them." Just about to face the cross, and prayer is in the forefront of his life. And I could really stop there. Some of you might wish I did. But I could stop and say, wow, all that as a kind of introduction is amazing. But Jesus is facing death and he prays for us. But I'm not going to stop there because it's only 10 past 11. So I've got another hour to go. Four things that Jesus prays here. Four things. And when I was thinking these things through, I thought, this is exactly what we need Jesus praying for us as we're coming out of lockdown and as this pandemic world of ours is beginning to go into a new phase. First of all, Jesus prays for us. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. You see, Jesus could have prayed for some sort of monastic isolation for us. I pray that they would all just meet on a Sunday morning on the purple chairs and just be a nice little club. But he doesn't. He prays that because he has sent us into the world. In the world. He wants us out in the world. He wants us to get stuck in to school PTAs, into governing bodies, into resident associations, into tennis club committees, into whatever, bowls, club, AGMs. He wants us in the world, in the secular world, whatever secular is. And we often forget the enormous privilege that we have when he says, yeah, you're sent. You are sent. That we would be in the world, but notice, not of the world. And Jesus understands the tension that we often live with being in the world, but not of the world. And you could all, in your years of following Jesus, you could tell situations and stories when it's been immensely hard to stand up for your principles as a Christian in the world. I know that I certainly came up against a lot of tension sometimes in the world of sport. And I want to talk particularly to the younger generation down here. Isn't it lovely to see them down on their cushions? It's like a sort of, well, just nice. And there's lots of people that wish they were on cushions down there with you, but they would have a problem getting up again. But I want to talk to you teenagers over there. And you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And so my challenge to you is don't ever, ever stop following Jesus because you get a hard time. Stand up strong. And be careful of the music that you're listening to. Be careful of the places that you're going that maybe you shouldn't. And what activities might be out of bounds for you as Christians. Because Jesus says, I'm sending you out there. Don't not go, but be my disciple in the sixth form, in university, in the office. It appeals, it's for all of us. But let's pray for our teenagers in that world, because we found it bad enough with rock and roll and a bit of a puff around the back of the bike shed. But these guys, it's tough. It's tough. So alongside that, my prayer is not you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. So Jesus prays for our protection. My prayer is not that you take them out, but you protect them. You see, Jesus is very aware that we are at risk. So he prays that we will be protected. And Jesus must have been feeling quite protective of those disciples that he's talking to. He's been with them for 3 years. There is boys, and he knows that he's going. And he must have at some point thought, you know, what if? And some of you will remember those days when you sent your child off to their first day at school, you know. And you left them at the school gates. And you thought to yourself, you know, please God, keep them safe. I entrust them to your protection. Even though they were probably little wotsits that morning because they wouldn't get ready for school. But you pray for their protection. And in your head, and in Jesus' head, there must have been that what if. What if? Sending them into an unknown territory known as the world. Where's that? Clever clogs in the congregation will tell me where it is. Anybody know? Yes, indeed. What state is it in? Kentucky. That is Fort Knox. And Fort Knox holds lots and lots of gold. It used to hold the Magna Carta, the Gutenberg Bible, the English crown jewels, but it has gold reserves from loads of different countries. Why is Fort Knox such a good place to store valuables? Because it is quite literally a fortress. It was built to be impossible for anybody to get inside of it. The vault door alone weighs more than 20 tons. Getting inside without authorization is impossible. And apparently even Obama didn't have the combination to the vault. I'm not sure about Mr. Trump. But to open the door, several staff each dial separate combinations known only to them. And then it's secure. The point of that illustration is this. The more valuable an item, the more trouble folks will go to protect it. You are valuable to God. So you need, and I need, protecting from the evil one. The word protect here actually means guard. And I love how Paul puts it. Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, tell your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will do this, folks. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because that's where we need the guarding, our heart and our mind. The two places where the devil will try and get at you. The place where you do all the thinking and the whatever side it is, well, somewhere around here, where you do all your emotional stuff. And we need that protection. And sometimes we kid ourselves because we think we'll be all right out there in the world. Each morning, pray that your protection. Pray for your mind not to be affected and your heart not to be affected, because Jesus prays that for you. Thirdly, Jesus prays for our sanctification. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify. That's your Greek. This is your Greek word today. Hagiazo. To dedicate for specific use, to make holy, to set apart. It was a common word in those days for pagan worship because it was the process of making something clean inside and setting it aside for specific pagan worship. It had been sanctified and it was considered pure. So we are to be hagiosized, and the work of the Holy Spirit does that in our lives as he takes root. Sanctify them by the truth. Here is the truth. We've got to be reading it. We've got to be knowing it. We've got to be living it, because it wants to hagiosai us. And finally, always a good point to say, finally, Jesus prays for our unity. Three times in three verses, Jesus mentions the word one and unity. Have a look at that this afternoon. Have a look and see all the times that Jesus does that. It's the same unity that's seen in the Trinity, the Father and the Son relationship. So Jesus prays that we would mirror that, that all may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. You see, he knew those disciples. He knew what a bickering bunch they were. He knew that they would argue over who was top dog at the dinner table. And he knew that Peter probably took ages in the bathroom in the morning doing his hair. He knew what they were like. And he says, unity, though, does not mean uniformity. Do you ever wonder what happened to him? He knew that. Unity doesn't mean conformity. Unity actually means also diversity. All buttons, but different shapes and sizes. All followers, all shapes and sizes, all different. And unity means united in purpose. United in purpose. Jesus is not talking about denominations, but he's talking about how we do faith. He's talking about how we are fellow players in the same team. He's talking about partnering together. Who flew the kite? I did, said the sticks. I did, said the paper. I did, said the boy. No, I did, said the wind. All flew the kite together. If the sticks had broken, the tail caught in the tree, the paper torn, or the wind had lulled, the kite would have come down. Each had a part to play in that kite going up in the air. And if we are to answer Jesus' prayer for unity, then all the parts need to play together. Every part of the fellowship putting together and making Jesus known. It's an immensely powerful illustration that we have, that we've got, of all the different gifts and the way that God can use each one of us and bring us together and call us the church. And the DNA of that unity is love, because Jesus finishes with that. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. One of the reasons that we're in the world is so that the world will see that love in us. No pressure there then, is there? Remember earlier that Jesus had talked about that love for one another. And when we are united, this is what happens. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then read this. It says, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. You see the then? It's a big then, because the world will know. And in a world of increasing disunity, in a world of increasing malfunctioning stuff, then we have a really important role to play. United together is noticeable, and dare I say, also attractive. So this morning, hear the Son of God approach his Father on our behalf. He prays for you and me to be in the world and to make a difference. He prays for our protection. He prays for our sanctification. He prays for our unity. And all of those things we can be praying as well for one another as we go into this next week. We're going to remain seated as we just reflect on some of those things and sing together, In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified. And then it will go, In Your Church and In Your World.